Welcome to your favorite F-word podcast, where we dive deep into conversations around food, fitness, feelings, with the occasional fuck thrown in. We're your hosts, Sarah
and Nicola,
owners of Paradigm Nutrition and Performance, nutrition coaches, besties, and most importantly, humans.
This show is for coaches, self-growth-oriented folks, active humans, or anyone looking to deepen their understanding and relationship with food, movement, and themselves.
Thanks for tuning in, and we cannot wait to share this space with you.
Hello, everyone. Happy Friday, maybe, by the time you're listening to this.
Like, what is she going to say?
Yeah, is it always, like, you worry for what I'm going to say?
No,
Are you nervous?
I was like, is she saying what day it is today? What's happening? You can put pressure on. No, I'm getting back to doing them.
So, we're recording this on a Thursday. We're no longer the week in advance team. We're team do it the day before. And that works for us right now. Yeah. I was also thinking, okay, I went back. I was just telling Sarah, I went back and listened to our episode from last week because I did get a handful of like very, very sweet client messages after talking about like imposter syndrome and all that stuff. But I was also thinking about like our intro and how so many other podcasts I listen to say like, hi, welcome back. I'm Nicola. And you would say, I'm Sarah. And I was like, do we need to do that? I feel like no, it feels weird to do that.
I feel like I sometimes do that. I typically say, welcome to another episode of your favorite F word.
Sarah, but then do we say, do you say that?
Sometimes. It just depends.
Okay, well, this is indeed your favorite F word. And I am Nicola, and that is Sarah. And we are here.
In case you were wondering.
I also, in re-listening to that episode, because we rarely ever go back in time and listen. We don't edit our podcasts, really. We don't, like, go back and listen. But I was like, holy fuck, you can tell what content I've been consuming because I'm adapting and, like, subconsciously using so much language and just like verbiage from other podcasts I've been binging lately. And I'm like, wow, that is so cringy that I just so easily absorb everything and just like turn it into my own.
Hey, I was thinking about that the other day though, because I'm getting back on like posting on Instagram and I was making a content plan and figuring out what I want to talk about. And I was just like scrolling, doing some like research or whatever. And I'm like, everyone on social media talks the same now.
Yeah, because we're like, all in that little bubble together, just feeding off of each other.
Language, the like, I can't even think of an example right now because it's so far out of how I want to speak. Mm. Like so unnatural. And I'm like, okay, do you talk to people like that in real life? Or just when you turn your camera on, now all of a sudden you like have this different voice and you're using this verbiage. And it is wild to me.
I think because of the sheer amount that I consume, I do use that language in real life and have noticed myself having to work very hard not to do that in like client sessions.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which would be really interesting when I'm in a few months, like actually doing my practicum and depending on like the client, the age demographic. I was chatting about this with peer, but sometimes that actually might work in your favor if you naturally are like using the language that your client would understand. But say I'm talking to like someone like my mom,
right,
and I'm saying like, you know, what's the vibe? Like, would my mom be like the vibe?
Yeah,
I don't know. Good. I
mean, your mom, yes,
or like any
mom is a vibe.
Like a mom, she is a vibe, truly. But if I was like, it sounds like you're in your like sad girl era, you know?
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay, fuck you. What's going on?
What is happening?
Oh, no, super interesting. But I'm like, wow, I'm just a sad little sponge. What is my actual personality?
We are all sponges. Yeah. We are all sponges. I know that a lot with, I have sponged off of you over the friendship.
Vice versa, for sure.
Like just, I'll like find myself saying something or like saying, I'm like trying to think of an example right now, but like,
yeah, I like need an example.
How are you doing?
Yeah.
I would never say that before I was friends with you.
Really?
Yeah.
Cause I like really associate that with you.
No, but I also don't say that to anyone besides you and Brandon and like Brad.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Also, there's like certain things that translate into other relationships, mm-hmm. certain things that are like just for us, but I'll catch myself in the moment being like, oh, that's a Nicola thing.
Yeah. So interesting.
Yeah.
Also so cool how like our brains like know where to like, where the scope is and yeah. like naturally use that language with some people. In kind of a related tangent, have you seen those really adorable couples TikToks or reels where they hold the phone up and they like have yeah. their own little language?
Yeah.
I've been sending everyone I come across to Brandon because our little language is, in my opinion, so fucking funny. And I was like, we would crush this game.
Yeah.
But also some of the other like little couple things. I'm like, that is so fucking cute. And yeah. I'm like, okay, so all couples do this.
Right.
Amazing.
I feel like Brad and I don't have a lot of those.
No.
No. No, but I have so many of those videos and I'm like, that's fucking adorable, or
it's
like
so cute.
Funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like that's the wholesome content that I'm like, I need more sure. of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Brandon and I were like sitting on the couch and instead of like filming it and doing it with the phone, I was like asking him like, what do you always say every time I show you a picture that you're in?
Right.
What and is he goes, Smee, Brandon.
Amazing. You guys should do it. You should start a couple's Instagram. It will go
yeah,
off.
Yeah, well, maybe, but he abandons me for 7 months a year, so it'd be really hard.
Yeah.
It'd just be also, it would only be me making content, and I'm like, I'm terrible at making content for my own shit, let alone, like, now I have to get his opinion, because he would be like, I don't care. Whatever. Yeah.
Did you see that couple that they get matching manicures? Yeah. So they get matching manicures, and he always picks it. And then they go to the nail salon together and he obviously has short nails and she gets like the gel tips and stuff like that. And it was so cute. And they uploaded a video yesterday because people were like making fun of them.
Rude.
Yeah. Well, it's fucking social media. But, and she was like, I can't remember like what brought it up, but she's like, also like, it's the best. We go for a manicure and he obviously pays for it. So like I get my nails done, I get to hang out with him. Oh, people were like, why do you hang out with your significant other so much? Like that's problematic.
And how she was, is that problematic? People anyway, will find anything. So yeah.
Cute. Or those ones where they're like, someone's in the back with like the noise canceling headphones. And then they're like, my favorite food is this. And their favorite food is this. And then they switch and they're like, my favorite food is this. And their favorite foods. So they see if they're,
I've never seen those.
Oh, they're pretty funny.
Okay, you got to send me some of those that you find.
The funniest is when they're like, his favorite food is definitely XYZ. And he's like, and then the guy comes and he's like, my favorite food is, and it's totally different than like. But usually they're pretty close. It's cool.
Yeah, okay. I love that. That's anyway, like, yeah, that's the good kind of content.
It is, yeah. And puppy and baby videos.
Obviously. Otter yeah. videos is like Sarah's favorite to send me.
And what else is in my feed right now? There's lots of like golf videos right now.
Oh yeah, you mentioned that.
It's pretty funny.
Like where the like wife or partner is just like so annoyed with their partner yeah. golfing so much.
Yeah, or just like golf memes in general, which you'll only understand if you're a golfer. They're just fucking hilarious. There's this guy. Did I tell you about that Sunny guy? We maybe talked about this last time.
I don't think so.
It's like he's like on an interview or like in jail or something. And he's like, my name's Sunny. And I took my wife golfing for Mother's Day. And then he's like, and then the screen goes black and white. And it's like about why it was like such a bad idea. Or like, he's like so ashamed of it, but he does it for like golf things. Like, my name's Sunny. And today I topped my drive after waiting for the green to clear, or like, things you only get when you're golfing. But anyways, it's really funny. I always send them to my dad.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do love a good family share. My mom always has very cute little ones to send me too. It's usually like someone like stacking rocks in a really cute way.
Right, like nature. Yeah.
Nature. Yeah. Little like hobbies. Yeah. Really cute.
Mom's so cute. Okay. Yeah. What are we actually talking about today?
Well, like I told you, last week, apparently we said we were going to do the stress podcast first, which is incorrect. Because we're stressed and we don't want to talk about it more. No, we're actually just going to go through the difference between meal plan and tracking macros. And I'll give a little bit more about my experience, as I am currently in like week 8 or 9 of a meal plan, which is bananas.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting episode because we have typically been against meal plans in the past, and we're going to talk about why. But Nicola has been loving the meal plan life. So we're going to get some insight on her experience with it, and just talk about like when it might be something that could be beneficial for you versus when, you know, a more conventional tracking, if it fits your macros, flexible dieting approach might be better.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. Well, why don't we start with these dictionary definitions that you've got going on here?
First of all,
they're not dictionary definitions. So I'm just going to clarify the difference between like what is tracking and what is a meal plan for the sake of this conversation.
For the sake of Sarah.
For my sanity, please.
We do this for Sarah.
Yeah.
But no, I think that's important to just lay out the difference, especially for folks who maybe aren't as familiar. I think most people have like some conception of it, but potentially our definitions might vary a little bit. So this will just lay the groundwork. So tracking macros obviously goes above and beyond looking at just your caloric intake, but is a way to methodically, you know, determine how much protein, carbs, and fats you are getting in throughout your meals throughout each day. 9 out of 10 times, actually, I don't know how you could do it without using a tracking app.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So we're referring to, okay, you're using something like My Macros Plus, My Fitness Pal to track your protein, carbs, fats, and calories, right? Typically that looks like you are going into the app and entering it, you know, as you go, or planning out your days in advance, but you are in the app every day and you are weighing and measuring things on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm. And for most people who are doing it, especially more as you get more advanced with it, you are doing so to hit certain targets. Mm-hmm. For sure, we have a lot of like our beginners just go in and start entering the food that they are eating to typically just see at the end of the day, what is my average protein, my average intake of carbs, fats, fiber, calories, things like that, just to see what your regular diet consists of, and then potentially moving into, okay, we need to, for most people, increase protein a little bit, depending on goals, lifestyles, health impacts or outcomes, and then we're kind of building consistency from there, adjusting macros based on preferences, based on goals, physique changes, biofeedback, and things like that. But it is, you know, fairly time intensive. You are, if you are doing things to the like most accurate degree, you're weighing and tracking everything you're eating, from like the coffee creamer you're having to the like weight of the bagel you had with breakfast to the ounces of chicken at lunch, you know, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. So tracking in some capacity is the method that we use with the large majority of our clients. And we have typically preferred this method for a few reasons. Mostly, number one, it allows way more flexibility, right? So if we're going out to eat, if we want to have something different from what we were planning, if we, whatever, it allows us to work that into our day because it's not so structured and rigid, right?
Right.
And it allows us to learn about food, to, you know, be aware of, you know, okay, when I do go out and I had this meal, what does the macro composition look like? And then going into like the more active process of like, how do I feel after that, et cetera. So that's typically why we have trended towards that in our coaching. Also, as nutrition coaches and not registered dietitians, we're not technically supposed to be prescribing meal plans. So this is a great way to allow us to help our clients make sure they're getting their needs without giving like a specific prescription on like you're eating X amount at X meal or like these types of foods, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're still encouraging you to have certain intake in terms of total calories and the breakdown of those calories, but you can choose whatever food sources get you to your protein goals. Mm-hmm. That said, obviously that kind of more, if it fits your macros approach where it's like, okay, cool, I can like drink protein shakes and eat ice cream and hit my macros. Obviously, that's not what we're after. We still are paying attention to food quality, the macro breakdown per meal to make sure that we're eating consistently throughout the day, prioritizing whole foods, being mindful of foods that don't make us feel good, you know, all of that stuff. But I think it really helps for communicating how and what people are eating, because obviously we can't be there in the kitchen with you. So it offers us a way of like sharing that information with clients. But I also think one of the reasons we really like that approach is because then we're not putting anything off limits for clients. We're giving them the ability to determine what foods work best for them, maybe their family, how they like to cook, how they like to prep. And it does make things, I think, easier potentially at the beginning. But I think that would depend on who you ask and what they're also looking for too, because that's not to say that it's a super simple process. It absolutely does take some learning.
It's a skill. It's a skill to build, right? And the more time you spend doing it, the more awareness you build around what's in the foods you're eating, how to make substitutions quickly, et cetera, et cetera. That is kind of tracking in a nutshell. One last thing about tracking is typically when we are tracking, we are still doing some sort of meal prep and meal planning for ourselves.
Absolutely.
We're not just, unless we're brand new to it and we're just learning, we're not typically eating and like tracking as we go with like no rhyme or reason. There is some like method and planning that has gone into doing some sort of prep, or at least, you know, planning your macros out ahead of time or planning your meals out ahead of time in the app.
Mm-hmm. Which will mean that I would say in an ideal world, you're not eating drastically different things every day. Like if you are doing that prep upfront, you're more than likely having very similar foods each day, but you have the flexibility to like, you know, I went out for coffee and I had a cookie, so I'm going to adjust the portions of some fats and carbs later on, which flexibility you don't have in the same way with a meal plan, but you're also not, you know, eating whatever the fuck you want every single day. Like there's a lot of repetition as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well then on the flip side, then let's talk about what a meal plan is in this conversation.
So with a meal plan, the goal is still the same in that you are structuring your meals throughout the day to end up with your total daily intake looking a certain way. So ultimately eating a certain amount of protein, fats, and carbs. And generally you're tracking this as well, but you're not necessarily going to need to be in your tracking app every single day because you're eating the exact same things. So you're probably in your tracking app once at the beginning of the week when you're prepping everything out, and then that's kind of it. And so where there is flexibility and you can choose, eat different amounts and portions and foods and stuff like that with tracking, you are eating the exact same things in a meal plan. And there might be, you know, personally, I have a day of eating for training days and I have a different day of eating for rest days, but every single rest day looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
Every single training day looks exactly the same, the same amounts, the same foods.
Yeah.
So there is much less flexibility day to day.
Do you change that week to week?
Only if, say, my coach makes like macro adjustments, then she's also gone in and adjusted the portions of things for me.
Right.
Or, you know, when I was first getting used to it, there were a few meals that I'll talk about this in a bit of like the actual process of developing the meal plan. But I was like, hey, that's unrealistic for me to eat. I'm never going to eat that combination of foods together. You know, maybe it looks different. And then as we've gone, when I've had to adjust meals, some meals no longer make sense anymore. If, for example, I'm in a diet phase. So as macros decrease, some of the meals no longer make sense and we've had to change them. But typically I would say 90% of my meals have been exactly the same since day one. And this is week 9.
Right.
So it's pretty fucking consistent.
Pretty consistent. Yeah. We're going to go into like how Nicola is doing this, and we're just going to preface this with, we can't prescribe a meal plan for our clients, right? We can't say, okay, you're going to eat this exact thing for this meal, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 every day. But what we can do, if this is something that you decide might be supportive for you, is we can help our clients come up with meal plans for themselves based on the macro targets that we're wanting to hit. If you are working with a coach, they can absolutely help you do that. If you're not working with a coach, same thing, you're just going to take your macros and you're going to create a plan out of that. And so Nicola is going to kind of walk us through how she is doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then maybe we'll talk pros and cons at the end.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do that. So with this, I've tracked macros now on and off for like a decade. So I have a pretty good idea of what I'm doing. However, with this question from Sarah.
Question. Okay. This just came into my head.
Yes.
You
go.
Do you think that tracking macros should be a prerequisite to doing a meal plan?
Okay, great question. I think this is a piece of why we don't go straight to like, let's help our clients build meal plans. Yes. Is because I think a lot of people love the idea of, oh, I don't have to think about it. But in reality, it takes a lot to stay on a meal plan, a lot. And I would say the vast majority of our clients do not have the lifestyle or goals that align with a meal plan, because they need to be able to go for meals. They need to be able to adjust if their kids are in the mix. You know, there's a lot of other things there. So I would say that's one of the reasons we default to tracking macros. Could you do a meal plan right off the bat? Sure. But I probably would argue that you won't learn as much about food, because if you're always eating the same sources of protein, will you develop the repertoire and the knowledge to be like, oh, I can look at that plate and be like, yeah, there is a good amount of protein, because I know that that food contains
right
a good chunk of protein.
Yeah.
You know,
which has been our argument against meal plans up until this point, right? Because we want our clients to learn about food, to learn about what they need, to learn about what feels good, to learn about portion sizes. Meal plan doesn't necessarily cater to that.
I would also say that when we first start working with a client, I don't know what foods you love or hate. So mm-hmm. it's a lot to go and build a meal plan only for the client to be like, I would never fucking eat that in a million years.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's not a for process sure. that like makes sense. But certainly we've run across a lot of people who offer meal plans, and it's kind of like that eat this or nothing
yeah.
approach. Which, you know, if you're in the bodybuilding world, that's probably something you're going to have to go with. But it is not our approach. It's not our client base. So we haven't gone that way.
Yeah. Okay. So back to what you're doing. You're on like week 8-ish.
Yeah. Week 8, I think week 9 now. But we decided to go the meal plan route because of how busy my life was going to be through this diet phase. We knew I wanted to like make the most of it. It's going to be and is a shorter diet phase than I'm used to. So we do have to like push a little harder. And I knew my trade-offs were going to be a lot higher. So things like alcohol, I haven't had a drink this entire time, which is a lot for me. So that's like almost to like 2.5 months of sobriety. Because I just like couldn't fit it in. But also with where I was with school, with work, with Brandon being away, my coach was like, would you be open to trying it? And I was like, yeah, actually, that sounds good. What my process ended up being was, you know, my coach sets the macros for the beginning of my diet phase. And together, we made a list of foods that I already always eat. And again, I was doing my meal prep. I was doing both bulk and full meal prep ahead of time. So it was really easy for me to be like, I need these foods in. These are foods that I would love to have, but are like maybe a luxury. Like, do I love to have chocolate every day? Sure. Would love that in a meal plan. And so we kind of put together meals. She also in this process encouraged me to increase the number of meals I was having in a day. So I went from maybe eating 3 quote unquote meals, like a solid breakfast, lunch, dinner. And then I would have like a pre-post workout or snacks. But now I'm having 6 meals in a day. So that was new to me. And then we broke down each of those 6 meals together. She ended up like, helping with like the amounts and stuff, and decided like on the macros for training days, the like allotment of carbs and things like that, which are a little different than what I might've done for myself, just based on when I'm hungriest.
Right.
And so the first few weeks were really just like trying it out. Some things I was like, whoa, I'm not used to this. Like at first eating six meals a day, I was like, I am always eating. How am I in a diet phase? It feels crazy.
Right.
But now I'm like, I don't think I'll ever go back. I love eating six meals a day. It feels amazing.
Yeah.
So there were changes like that for sure.
Mm-hmm. So basically you guys together started with a breakdown of, okay, meal one is going to have X macros. Meal two is going to have X macros. Then from there, you looked at the list of foods that you like, and you said, okay, to fill this 20 grams of protein in this meal, we're going to have X amount of X food. So whatever, 4 ounces of turkey.
Yeah.
Whatever. And so your meal plan now looks like, okay, meal, like give us an example of two of your meals. What it looks like on paper.
So like meal one would be like 40 grams of oats, 30 grams of protein powder. I made like the adjustment from like, I used to use an almond milk. Now I'm just mixing it with water, adding berries, and on like a rest day, I'll also add yogurt. On a training day, I'd add banana and things like that. My meal, like for dinner, are basically the exact same every day. It's like sweet potato, ground turkey, broccoli slaw.
Right.
Every single day. Yeah. And then like my nightly snack is like 0% fat Greek yogurt, protein powder mixed together, frozen berries.
Right.
P.S. It's delicious. Everybody should eat it. So like there were a few that was new to me. I never would have like eaten that meal. Mm-hmm. Same with like, I also do an egg white omelet with like a bagel. Never would have made an egg white omelet for myself before, but now it's like one of my favorite meals. So there was a little bit of discomfort at first. Just like when I would eat a meal, for example, like my meal two on rest day, when I'm eating it like at 11 a.m. is like chicken and potatoes. And I would never, ever have been like, oh yeah, I really want to eat chicken and potatoes
at 11 a.m.
at 11 a.m. But it's worked really well.
Right. So with that, then I think something to be just to make clear is Nicola is still weighing and measuring the ingredients for each of those meals.
Mm-hmm.
So she's still for every meal, and you do a bulk prep on the weekend, right?
Yeah.
So you prep every meal or most of your meals on the weekend for the week. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I cook up every single protein source, every single carb source, and I make sure my fridge is stocked with all the veggies, fruits, and extras for the entire week.
Right.
I could stop there and just have everything cooked and ready to go and each meal weigh and measure it out.
Yeah.
But I was like, fuck that. I want to think zero about food. So I took the time then to weigh out every single meal for every day, with the exception of like, I'm not pouring out the egg whites into a container. I do that stuff, or like add the cream cheese to a bagel.
Yeah.
Like, but everything else is literally prepped. So in total, I'm making like 25 meals, I think, mm-hmm. at the beginning of the week. So on the weekend. Yeah. And it takes a long time.
Yeah.
Certainly, like I finessed my process. And when you're making the same meals over and over again, you get a sense of it. But it's like a 3 to 4 hour ordeal. It's not like a quick thing.
And it's the typical what you picture when you think about meal prep, where there's containers. Each container has, you know, X grams of turkey, X grams of rice, X grams of broccoli slaw in it. Then she puts the lids on, she labels it meal five.
Mm-hmm.
There's fucking five meal fives in her fridge when it's time to eat. She goes and grabs a meal five container, warms it up. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so exactly.
That weighing and measuring is still happening. Okay. Mm-hmm. She needs to make sure that she is getting the appropriate amount of calories, carbs, fats, protein. But she's choosing to do it all at one time on the weekend. So during the week, you literally just grab and go.
Yeah. And I encourage clients to do this for their tracking macros for meals where they're like taking lunch and breakfast to work. Absolutely. And like do those meals in advance, so you don't have to think about it.
Yeah. Easy peasy for sure. Or even if you are making dinner and you're having leftovers for lunch the next day, weigh out your leftovers before you put it in the, like Brad will just like put away dinner in like bulk. And then the next morning it's fucking rushed and he like won't take his lunch because he hasn't measured it out, where I'm like, it literally takes 2 extra seconds to just measure it out when you're having dinner. And then you just grab the thing in the morning. So that piece can absolutely go whether you're doing a meal plan or you're doing tracking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, at first it was like, oh my God, I'm exhausted after this, but you know, you make the best of it. You get in a groove with it. I watch my favorite shows while I'm doing it. And it pays off. It's like made the biggest difference when I just like pack up all my meals when I go off to like work or to school or something like that. Super, super fucking easy. So I do love that aspect of it.
I think we also need to recognize that like that time is going to be spent doing it, whether it's all at once on the weekend or throughout the week, right? Mm-hmm. And you've decided for you right now, you have that time on the weekend, you have that time on Sundays. It's like the day that you have to do that. And now you do not have to spend that time during the week, right? Whereas some people might not have that time on the weekends, or they're already cooking dinner during the week, or they have that more flexibility during the week, and they're just choosing to spend the time during the week, right? It doesn't, when we look at the total time during the week that it takes, it's not different.
Totally. It's just like, it is a trade-off of how you want to spend that time. Because it is something where, you know, there have been absolutely weekends where I'm like, I'm tired. I just want to like veg. I don't want to do it. But I know that if I leave it till the next day, it's either not going to get done, and then my meal plan goes to shit for that entire week, or, you know, I'm going to be regretting it when I'm like portioning out meals day in and day out, and like can't live the same way I was before. So it's a trade-off that you need to make. But I would argue, from what I see with clients a lot of the time, that idea of like, oh, I have more time during the week, I have the flexibility, I'll do it then, does not necessarily translate into you doing a good job. Because people are like, oh, well, I work from home, so I'll just put my lunch together, you know, in the moment. 9 times out of 10, I would argue that people are still like, oh, well, I don't want to track, or, you know, I'm just going to throw something together and track it after the fact.
Yeah.
And that is like a very quick pattern to get into that will completely throw off your week, throw off your progress.
Or they choose not to eat because they're like, fuck, I don't have time, or I don't want to spend the energy. Now they're going to without eating, and then they're going ham in the pantry before dinner.
Yeah.
That happens so often. Like, we have those intentions, and those intentions are good, but that's not always the reality. So if you are tracking macros, likely doing a combination of a little bit during the week and a little bit on the weekend is going to be like a happy, happy medium.
And I do think that's like been a bonus for me, is like, I definitely would identify with a person who would be like, you know, I'm just so hungry in the moment, I'm just going to eat what's available, track it, and then adjust my other things later. And like, yeah, you can get away with that a time or two, but once that's like your habit, you know, that it's a really slippery slope. And I think that's something I've noticed is like an improvement in my own adherence to a diet phase, because I'm not at the whim of like that idea of like intuitive fucking eating. I'm like, it's not intuitive at all. It's literally, this is what I'm eating. It's in front of me. And that has been a much better process for me.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Okay. Well, let's go into some of the pros and cons then, and then we can help anyone who's listening identify like maybe if this would be a good option for them or not.
Okay, so pros of the meal plan. It is so fucking easy during the week. No tracking during the week, assuming like I stick to my meals and don't deviate from the plan at all. So I'm not the people who complain about like being in their phone all the time. Literally none of that. I literally put, I don't want to say zero thought, because it's still a mindful practice, and I'm still aiming to eat at the same times every day and what have you. But I think zero about like, oh shit, what should I have to eat?
Like, it's just awesome. Fatigue doesn't come into that, because
there's
decision fatigue.
Oh yeah, no, there's none of that.
Make a decision. Your only decision is, I'm going to take this thing out of the fridge and eat it.
And some people would be like, oh, isn't that kind of a con if you're like craving something else? But in a diet phase, it's different, because when you are, I don't love this language, but like giving into cravings again and again and again, you're more likely to start to go off plan, off macros, or just like create some like fairly shitty eating habits for yourself. And so certainly there's been days where like, I don't want to really eat chicken and potatoes at 11. I'd rather have something else. So what I've done on occasion is switch my meals. So I'm still eating the exact same things during the day, but I'm like, I'm going to eat my omelet and bagel first. I'll save that chicken and potatoes for my fourth meal and swap them. Or I've noticed that like, if I'm eating something that I'm not like so obsessed with, I'm actually slowing down to eat. I'm way more satiated. And that's been really helpful in a diet phase too, is actually eating plain, but good. Like there's delicious meals, but they're plain and they're not so palatable that I'm like, oh, I could eat more of that. It's like, no, there was my meal. I'm good.
Yeah. And you made a post about that, and we maybe talked about it on a previous podcast about like, there is value in a diet phase and eating like more boring, less tasty meals. Absolutely. At the same time, if you're someone who has a really shit relationship with food and has a lot of this mentality around like good versus bad foods and stuff like that, that might not be the most supportive approach, because you're just going further into that like, food is only fuel and it's not meant to be enjoyed mentality, which can keep us in that like cycle.
Yeah. When you're saying like, no, I can't have that. It's not, you know, on the plan, whatever. This has also saved me a ton of money, which has surprised me a lot how much less I'm spending on groceries, because I grocery shop once in the week. Whereas before I would grocery shop, do my big like meal prep on the weekend, but I'd get to like Thursday night and be like, you know what? I kind of want something different for dinner. And I'd go out and buy a whole new set of groceries, even though I had enough at home.
Yeah.
And so I'm no longer doing that midweek spending. So my grocery bill has decreased substantially.
And you're buying what you need for those meals.
Yeah. My food waste is zero.
Anything else. Yeah.
Yeah, I have zero food waste, which is also like great.
Yeah.
And I am, I said here, 12 out of 10, but I'm like, I'm much more adherent to my diet phase than I ever have been, which feels really good.
Yeah, for sure. Lots of pros there. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Lots of pros that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move into some cons.
The meal prep, as we mentioned, is really time consuming, about twice the length of what I was previously putting in over the weekend. But again, it doesn't have to look like that.
Yeah.
I can imagine it being a really shitty process if you weren't enjoying, maybe as a stretch. Sometimes I don't necessarily always enjoy the meals, but they're good enough.
Like choking them down.
Yeah. I'm never choking them down.
Yeah.
I like them enough. And that's something like my coach and I would absolutely make the adjustment if I was like, I'm literally skipping this meal because it's so gross.
Mm-hmm.
That would be something we would navigate. But I would argue that you really do get used to eating the same things.
Yeah.
I thought I would be super bothered by the monotony and get bored really quickly. No, I'm very happy to keep eating the same things. And you'll find that like you pick your favorite meal of the day still. And there's still things I really, really look forward to in other meals that I'm like, yeah. It's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
It is much harder to have meals off plan or like go out for meals. Mm-hmm. So I have typically been not avoiding social situations, but avoiding eating in social situations. So there's been many times when we've gone out for drinks, I will eat my meal prior and then I'll go and have a Diet Coke instead of an alcoholic beverage, or instead of eating and sharing appies. And there have been a few times where I'm like, oh, like it'd be really nice to like have something.
Mm-hmm.
And other times I'm unbothered. So it really depends on the day, whatever. This one's maybe a little trivial, but like the meal prep takes up so much space in the fridge.
Yeah.
So much space at the beginning of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at the same time, there's no other groceries. So it's like, it is what it is.
Yeah. If you were someone with a family that was eating differently than you, or like roommates or something, that might be something to consider.
Yeah. So when Brandon's home, it's definitely like a squish in there.
Yeah.
And so similar to my piece above about going out to eat, it could be harder to eat socially if there were like potlucks or something and you're bringing your meal prep. But again, I put harder in quotations because I would argue that like, it's hard if you make it hard.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think that there are too many people who are going to be upset if you bring your own food or have the conversation ahead of time with them that like, hey, I'm eating on a meal plan right now. I'll come. I can't wait to spend time with you, but like, don't worry about me for food. I've got my own.
Yeah. I think we work that up in our head so much.
So much, yeah. And like, don't get me wrong, there's family members and there are friends who are assholes about it. And so like, that's a separate conversation. Mm-hmm. But I do think that a lot of us hold this idea that we can't fully participate socially if we're not also doing the eating and drinking that everybody else is. And I just don't think that's true.
Absolutely.
And lastly, this would be a lot more time consuming and more complicated if I was switching meals every single week. So I know there are people who do that. That's not for me. Absolutely not. That would be way too much admin, honestly.
It would just like take more time to like do, basically you'd be making a new meal plan for yourself every week.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
yeah.
Not something I would ask my coach to do. And it's not something I would want to do for myself. So.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that when people are macro tracking, they do to some degree, right? We map we map out what our meals are going to be for the week, whether we're doing the 25 meal prep like Nicola is doing on the weekend, or we just have a rough plan and we've done our grocery shopping and maybe done some batch prep. Like, that's kind of what it looks like when we are tracking.
Yeah.
It's like changing it up week to week, but having similar meals throughout the week. For most people anyways. Cool.
So okay. I mean, there's definitely a time and place. I think that's kind of where we're heading is like who might meal plans before.
Yeah.
I think now that I've done one myself, I'm like, okay, there is like a time and place for it. I think where I'm at now, I would say they work really well in a diet phase. Could they be absolutely suitable for someone in maintenance who just had a really fucking busy life? Absolutely. But they're not necessarily necessary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I, from your experience that you shared and just from like what I know from working with clients, I do think a diet phase is probably a great time to utilize a strategy like this. And I like think to this like idea of like people are always like, oh, I need my nutrition to be sustainable. And like, honestly, a meal plan is probably not sustainable for most people because of all of those cons Nicola listed. But for a diet phase where we need to wrap our heads around this concept that like a diet phase isn't sustainable. Like it's not supposed to be sustainable. That's why it's a phase.
Yeah.
And so if we can make that phase easier for ourselves by taking the guesswork out of things and using something like a meal plan, get the most out of it and spend the least amount of time as possible in it, that's fucking fantastic, right? So I think if you're someone who is okay with eating the same foods day to day, who doesn't want to think about it, who, you know, has a relatively similar schedule day to day, you know, is okay going into those social situations, not eating, it's a great way to move through a diet phase. Absolutely. And if that diet phase is planned out methodically, start and, you know, I think that's also, I'm putting words in your mouth, but that's also been part of why it's been successful for you, because you knew you have this timeline. These are your goals. Like there's so much structure in that.
Yeah.
And you're, I'm going in, I'm fucking getting it done. And then I'm getting out.
Yeah, for sure. Right? Yeah. It'd be another thing if I didn't have an end kind of date.
For sure, because that makes the, you know, saying no to alcohol, saying no to the eating and social situations, like it makes it quote unquote easier because you know it's not forever. And you know, like at the end of this cut, like you're going to be able to have that flexibility again. And that's not saying that Nicola is going to end this cut and then go fucking balls to the wall, because even if we're tracking macros in a diet phase, like that's never the mentality that we want to be in. But I do think that that would make adhering to a meal plan a lot easier.
It's just
like timeline.
Yeah. I'm having a lot of other thoughts around like how much easier it is to identify like when or why changes in biofeedback are happening. Cause you're not, you know, switching up meals so much that like you don't know why you're having indigestion. It's like so many things are clearer, which is generally more important in a diet phase when you might need to make more adjustments than you would in say maintenance or even like certain performance-based goals as well. So it fine-tunes a lot of things and takes the guesswork out of a lot.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we
hit on most of the things. Is there anything else you want to mention? Anyone else that you think would super benefit, or anyone where you're like, you should not do this?
I feel like if you cannot commit to like a meal prep process and not track in advance, like, no, right. I feel like get that together first. If you're someone who meal preps for yourself and again, finds yourself going off plan because you like, don't like the meals anymore, you get sick of things super easily. I have some clients who like by day three, like the taste of like this certain meat or whatever is like, bad. They can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's maybe some other stuff to like navigate there. Or just like you're not someone who is like going to align super well with that. I don't know. I also think too, I would be skeptical about then starting to do this with every single client, because I can imagine a world where the client and the coach put in a lot of work up front to like come up with this like perfect meal plan. And then if something comes up, depending on life, depending on commitment, and it just like all kind of gets derailed, it would be harder to get back into your rhythm than if you were tracking macros.
Right. Absolutely.
So it really is a commitment that you have to be willing to stick to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And be okay with the trade-offs.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, that was fun. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, it's so interesting because it's like so different than everything that we've ever preached. And I'm like, I'm not surprised that Nicola isn't enjoying this because of who she is as a person and how kind of like structured and focused she is when she's in these phases. But I definitely can see it. I don't think for me, it would work very well just because of who I am as a person and that flexibility that I need. So it's just interesting to.
Yeah. I mean, it's not something I want to do forever for sure.
Yeah.
And there's pieces around like, you know, I have had some meals out and off plan and I'm very like attuned right now to like how I'm feeling about it. There's definitely like a piece where I'm like so excited to have a meal that's different from my norm, but I'm like interesting that I'm feeling more guilty.
Right.
Because it's such a obvious off plan move.
Yeah.
Versus if you're tracking macros, there are ways to kind of circle around it and like make it make sense. Mm-hmm. And so I'm noticing like, you know, there are some things I need to keep aware of that I'm not building myself a mentality of like good and bad, plan or off plan.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So it's just like being mindful of those things for yourself and knowing, you know, who you are and how you kind of navigate those. I am like learning a little bit more about like, I thought I had mastered that piece. Right. And now it's like, oh, okay, maybe it's still there. Or other pieces where I thought like, you know, I had this idea of what I needed in my nutrition. And now I'm like, oh, actually I didn't need that at all. I can actually adapt a lot more. So.
Yeah. So many learnings that you'll be able to take with you when you stop your meal plan that will make the process of tracking or even going through periods of not tracking so much easier.
Yeah. Like I think I would still commit to like a really big weekly meal prep, mm-hmm. like a full meal prep.
Yeah.
I also had this idea, maybe this will be my last thought because apparently I can't shut up today. But I also thought I was going to be like, ew, meals are gross or not like fresh at the end of the week. If you have a good fridge, like I haven't noticed food quality change at all. The meal I eat on Sunday feels just as good as the meal I eat on Monday. I don't notice that like all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is not good.
I think the cooking methods and the storing methods matter. Do you let your meals cool before you put them in the fridge?
Depends.
Interesting.
There have been some weeks where based on my weekend schedule, I've had to cook everything, put it away bulk, and then take it out to prep it right. Or to like portion it out. Yeah. Other times, depending on, you know, if Brandon's around, it can help me with the barbecuing or stuff. You know, sometimes it's really dependent. Yeah. Right. But I would say like veggies freshness are kind of like where I'm like, if the veggies are gross, but yeah. Honestly, I've had no issues. Even when I'm like chopping all the peppers and pre-portioning them every week, like still feels good.
Yeah. Again, it's going to depend on what you're making. Right. And so because Nicola's meals that she's making are quite simple, they're going like, it's very protein, carb, veggie.
Mm-hmm.
it's going to keep better than something that's like all mixed together with like fucking sauce on it, or you know,
oh, like a salad that's pre-dressed. No, nothing like that.
Veggies that have even certain types of veggies, right? Like peppers, broccoli slaw, kale slaw, all of that
mushrooms
stuff relatively well.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have, you know, cooked
cucumbers
or like cucumbers or, you mm-hmm. know, so it takes some time to like learn that as well.
Yeah. All my veggies are also raw when I prep them. I don't pre-cook yes. any of my veggies. So that, yeah. that helps for sure.
Sure. Yeah. 1000%. Yeah.
And I don't make my overnight oats in bulk. I portion like the protein powder and oats out, but I make them still the night before.
Yeah.
Like put the water in, mix them up. Yeah. You know, all little hacks that like, you know, you figure out along the way based on what you're into.
Yeah. Well, hope that was helpful. Hope that gave you all some insight. And if you are clients of ours and you're like curious, if you're meal plan curious, bring it up with us and we can kind of chat about the pros and cons and see if it's something that would make sense for you. We didn't do a fuck yes and fuck no last week, I feel like.
I know. I noticed that.
We need to do that today.
Yeah. Okay. Also, I did not get any hate on my affair on Diet Coke, and I thought I was going to just be like shit on, but no one said anything.
I did.
Well, you, but yeah, you brought it up. You were angry one. You said it was like sleeping with the enemy.
You were like, you're pretending you haven't been sleeping around, like you're going to Diet Coke like nothing. So funny. Anyways, fuck yes and fuck no.
Little morning visits with friends.
Fuck yes.
Yeah, that's a big fuck yes. Even just like a little 20 minutes first thing in the morning. Lovely.
I've been loving my morning routine lately. Just like getting back into like a morning, just like having something nice in the morning, you know, whether it's a visit with friends, whether it's like a quiet time doing, I've been like doing my journaling again more consistently and reading in the morning and then taking Malia. Mm-hmm. So nice. I have another fuck yes, which is just like, now that my belly's popping, I'm like fully embracing it. Like, I'm just like, let this belly out.
Yeah. Like, are you going to do belly out all summer? Like a little crop top and belly out? Yeah. Fuck yeah. Well, I love
all the shirts that I own are crop tops. So there's that. And like, yeah, I just like, even this morning I found myself like pulling my like spandex down a little bit so that it like, my belly was out. And I like, my mom's coming this weekend and we're going to go shopping. So I'm like, pumped to like try to find some like low rise stuff that will like fit under the belly. Cause most of like the maternity jeans and shorts have like the big belly band.
Yeah.
Which I think that once I get really big, it's nice because it helps support it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But for as long as possible, I'm just going to get like the skirt crop combos that like let the belly.
Yeah. Plus we're entering summer and you're not going to want to be like sweaty and like all those belly layers.
So yeah, those are my fuck yeses. My fuck no is going to be my pelvic floor situation right now. It is fucked already. And I'm like so scared. My like biggest fear is that I'm going to go have this baby and my pelvic floor is just going to be like so fucking tight. And there's going to be like issues on having the baby. And I'm just like so scared of that. So I'm going to a pelvic floor physio next week.
Get that thing worked on.
Yeah. It's like a lot of pressure down there, you know? It's weird.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. No. Yeah. But I mean, I have to go get a pap next week. So I feel your pain. No, I don't feel your pain. I can't relate at all. I will not pretend to have those the same. Fuck no would be like male gynecologists. Ugh.
Oh, do you have one?
No. Well, I'm going to a nurse practitioner to avoid having a male doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, I would not love that. I had my ultrasound yesterday and I had to do like an internal ultrasound, which was new. It was really funny because she literally put a condom on the ultrasound machine. Brad and I were like laughing so hard because it's just like the stick, right?
Oh my God, it'd be so awesome if she like pulled out like a for your pleasure type condom or like a glow like in the dark or something.
Yeah.
She's like, this is cherry flavored.
And then just like so much fucking lube. Anyways, she had me insert it. Like she was like,
that's nice.
And I was like, that is so much better.
So trauma informed.
Being down there and just shoving it in there.
Oh, I love that. I've actually heard of that with PAPS too. It's like you insert the speculum and stuff.
Yeah. That would be.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that.
That was nice.
That is really nice.
It was okay. I should have told you this earlier when we were talking, but now the world can hear it. So they do the internal exam to measure your cervix to make sure it's long enough. Okay. So you can see like
your long enough.
Yeah.
How long should it be?
I think like if it's under like 2.5 centimeters or something, it's like problematic.
Oh yeah. That's tiny.
Yeah. Anyways, mine was great, but I had her do this thing because, well, never mind. We don't need to talk about this, but anyways. Okay. So you can see your cervix, you can see the uterus, and then you can see like your vaginal canal thing, right? Baby's head is fucking right at my cervix. So like, I'm just getting this picture in my head, like just of how he was positioned was like,
you got a glimpse of like what it's going to be. And he's like, still tiny.
Yeah. Oh, reminder. So yeah, it was wild just to like see that and to like, you've obviously had that visual when you think about giving birth, but like to actually like see it in your own body on the screen. I was like,
oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay. That's terrifying.
Yeah. Side note, I was just looking at how my nails are blue and your nails are pink right now. And we found out yesterday that we're having a boy. And I was like absolutely shocked. Hi, Goose. Goose just hopped up on Nicholas' chair. And
it's the tiny little chair.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing? This is why I won't be able to have her in my counseling sessions.
Oh, yeah. That's sad. That's sad. You'd be such a good support girl.
You would.
Anyways, we found this out yesterday and everyone was asking, like, did I get my nails painted blue because I'm having a boy? And I was
never even thought of that.
Painted on Tuesday before.
Yeah.
But we both thought I was having a girl and your nails are pink. So
yeah. Fuck, you manifested it by accident.
Yeah, it changed last minute.
Totally. It might have. Maybe his little peen grew really quickly.
Right. Right. Yeah. Anyways, that's fun.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think this means she needs to go out. She had her vet appointment this morning and now she's like, love me.
I have
me outside
before my call. So
okay. Thanks everybody for showing up as per usual. And we'll see you next week for what will potentially be the stress episode. We'll see.
It'll either be stress or pregnancy.
Yeah.
We'll decide.
Yeah.
We make the decisions around here.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks everyone.
Okay. Bye.